Thank you. Panelists? Yes, Mr. Prayville.
Right. So let us deal with the first question had to do with the process of becoming, process of citizenship, essentially. The CARICOM is made up of an association of sovereign countries, all individual countries. The process of citizenship in CARICOM is it is standard in basically each country has its own system in terms of numbers of years that you have to be a resident. We recognize that there is an issue of status with respect to persons who would have lived in a CARICOM member state on the basis of their skill certificate, for instance, which is what he's really pointing to. So you have a skill certificate, or you traveled as someone who was part of what we call the contingent rights regime, where you are part of the managerial staff of a company, a CARICOM company, that has moved into another member state. So the managers of these companies, the persons who have moved, have the right to come in and provide services on the basis of that arrangement. After 5 years or 7 years, which is the normal time it takes for you to become a citizen of a member state, if you were using a work permit system, which is what we use right now, the work permit system would allow you to become, to apply for citizenship. The situation of the skill certificate, we have not yet tweaked the legislation to make that equivalent to what would have obtained with your work permit situation. So he does have a very valid point here in the sense that...
Are you saying that it's easier to get citizenship with a work permit for someone who is not a CARICOM citizen than it is for if you are a CARICOM citizen and you are operating on a skill certificate?
Yeah, it is. This is still unclear as of now. It's still unclear. The status of you becoming a citizen needs to be ironed out. So he's right in that respect. We need to sort that out.
Okay.
Then he spoke, I believe, on the issue of recognition of, well, he said exam. I will interpret that to mean, say you have a skill certificate, Dr. Hines, and you move to another member state of CARICOM. The procedures as agreed to by the heads is that you ought not to be applying again in the member state you have moved to for the issuance of another skill certificate. What you have traveled with should simply be verified. That's what should happen. Now, so this is what the standard is. Yet we have some countries which have not yet are not implementing that administrative procedure. So this is where you have inconsistency in the system. And it's not for lack of a decision. There is a clear decision on that matter. So it is at the member state level doing what it needs to do.
So I would like to interject here just briefly, because on this matter of migration, and it is one of the things I wanted for us to discuss today, if CARICOM is supposed to facilitate the movement of people, why on earth do you need a skill certificate? And I think this comes back to the whole paper-based kind of argument that there is a lot of documentation and bureaucracy that is required for people to do simple things like move around the region and live and work. And I just want to juxtapose this, since we're talking about Caribbean regionalism and not only CARICOM, with the experience in the OECS, where people can move and they can work. So what is this kind of obsession with having different categories recognized and having to have things such as something that I think is a little bit ridiculous, having to show that you have a qualification to be a domestic worker? Why do you need to show that in order to move from one part of the region to another? I've never heard of people inside of an individual country asking someone if they have a qualification to be a domestic worker. So what is this obsession with all of this bureaucracy that causes this caller to have to ask these kinds of questions?
It goes back, Dr. Hines, to the very start of when the treaty was actually drawn up. If you look in the treaty, you would see that, I think it is article, I don't have my treaty, I think it's article 46, 46, I think. There are categories of nationals, skilled workers, because there's a regime that addresses movement of CARICOM nationals. So there is a specific regime that addresses skilled CARICOM nationals. Now, when the treaty was negotiated, because this was a negotiation that led to the establishment of the treaty, a number of member states, and again, this is made up of member states, a number of member states were uncomfortable with the notion of free movement of all persons. So a decision, it was more or less an interim decision was made to listen. Let us list those categories of persons who we can so define and so forth. And we will then move to have that list expanded, which has in fact happened over time. But technically, what we should be aiming for is free movement of all persons. And in fact, the heads have a decision on to work towards free movement of all persons by 2021. Mr. Hamilton, Silas, you want to come in?
Yeah, I was saying, if you had to put all of that in a nutshell, Christiana, it would be that the heads agreed to a phased approach. That's it in a nutshell.
As opposed to the OECS that went with, because there was this great fear that persons would move from one member state and swarm the other member state, and there would be mass unemployment and social upheaval. These okay. were the concerns, Christina, that led to this cautious, gradualistic approach. And we have institutionalized it even more now. We've having all these procedures. So in a sense, once you have taken that approach of having this gradualistic approach to this thing, you have to put procedures in place. And that in itself becomes a bureaucracy.
All right, well, let's come back to this after we go to a break. This is Brass Tack Sunday.
Williams Metals, choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. We got what you need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete, copper, aluminium, and all type of metals. For construction, get galvanized sheets, welding and plumbing products for sure. You can find that and so much more. Friendly staff to help with your search at King Garden, St. Thomas, and Lowlands Christ Church. Williams Metals, we got what you need.
This is Brass Tack Sunday. We have been discussing Caribbean regionalism, and we were just talking a little bit about migration and some of the obstacles that people may face to moving, living, and working around the region. A caller raised this, and I think it is a very pertinent point for us to discuss. I want to say that for me, I think this connects quite well to what Megan Tibbles was arguing about having a bottom-up approach, where regionalism is about people. If it is about people, why are we still having, I understand what both Mr. Hamilton and Mr. Preville said about the gradual approach that member states agreed to, but does this reflect what it is that people want? Do people not want to be able to move easily across the region? Is there some kind of disconnect between what's happening on the ground and what is being decided at the level of member states? Megan, it looks like you want to say something.
Yes, to touch back on the ombudsman part, I was made aware that there actually seems to be a complaints procedure that has already been implemented, where CARICOM nationals in the exercise of their rights under the treaty and secondary legislation of the community here are basically able to let it be known that they have an issue and use CSME focal points. So reading this, because I only just learned about it, there is a procedure that allows you to let it be known that you have faced a grievance, basically in trying to exercise one of your rights under CSME. So my question then would be, how come I'm only now hearing about this? I thought I was pretty well read. So there is something implemented, but it doesn't seem like the average person might know about it. Because I'm particularly interested in CARICOM, but someone had to let me know that this is what is going on. So it seems that yes, there are good ideas, there are things implemented, but is it being broadcast to the average person, the average member of the Caribbean community? And I am inclined to think not, and I think that that is also a major issue. And because we can say, oh, we want this, we want that, but then someone's saying, oh, well, we actually have this in place, you just didn't know about it. That doesn't necessarily speak to ignorance on, well, it speaks to ignorance on our part, but is it our fault as people? Or is there more to be done? And I'm inclined to think that more can be done to make things more aware so that we are better cognizant of all our opportunities that exist, especially in terms of trying to right a wrong.
And that is why programs like these are so important. We slip in between the CARICOM Secretariat and the community, and we use them interchangeably. It is impossible for the Secretariat to take on that huge task of engaging everyone in the 14 million population of CARICOM. And the Voice of Barbados this morning and the moderator, certainly it's a step in the right direction. But as we go back earlier, and you spoke about Megan, the ombudsman that Peter would have mentioned, and it's not the first time that would have been mooted. I also wish to remind of the complaints procedure that each member state in the CSME should also have in place, and that should be disseminated among the population at the various ports of entry and on the various social media sites, etc. Plus, in the member states, you also have something called a CSME focal point, which has to play a role in that first step in having your complaints addressed. So again, it is not perfect. Are there things that are in place? Yes. Do we need to know more about them? That is so true.
Okay, so we've just learned that there is a complaints procedure, and it is through the focal point. I wonder how many people even know what or where the focal point is in their individual countries so that they can make use of these things. Similar to what I was saying before about if people want to move across the region, do they even know what they have to do? And once again, does it need to be such a cumbersome procedure? Mr. Wickham, did you want to say something here? And Dr. Skeet, it looks like you wanted to say something as well.
I wanted to say a lot of things.
Go ahead.
I've been biting my lip for a while. Let's talk about the comparison that was being made between certainly the Caribbean community in terms of I like the comparison with the European Union. Apart from the reason that I live in the European Union, the reality is that you can move around the European Union with such ease. Indeed, a European passport gives you access to all of the territories within the European Union with the greatest of ease. In most instances, far easier than if you don't have a European passport. And I've always made the argument that it is easier for me as a Barbadian to get into France than it is for me as a Barbadian to get into Trinidad and Tobago. There are less questions, there's less red tape, I don't have to complete a form or anything like that. I come to the border, produce my passport, and I'm here. Well, when you go to Trinidad and Tobago, they ask you all kinds of nonsense, the telephone number of the person you're staying with and whatnot. And as I understand it, all of that is not in keeping with the kind of agreements that we would have made at the regional level. It's clear to me that the Caribbean community, CARICOM or whoever is responsible, has a completely different idea regarding hassle-free movement to what I, Peter Wickham, might have regarding hassle-free movement. Right? I'm a regional consultant. Right?
Let me ask you a little question, though. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm a regional consultant, and I am told that there is a facility that is available to me as a regional consultant to help me work more easily around the region, and it's called a consultancy card or something like that. Mm-hmm. I once investigated the process of applying for it, and I was thoroughly convinced it was a waste of my time, because I am not prepared, right, having graduated from a regional institution, to then go and submit my documents to an accreditation authority for them to give me a document to carry to another document, to have somebody at CARICOM look at it and say, well, let me evaluate it and see if you're a regional. That's foolishness. My thing is that if I'm a Barbadian and I'm going to work in Dominica, I get on a plane and I go, and you want a document, I have a Barbados passport, that's all the document that you need. That's the way that I feel it should work.
Because you made the comparison with the EU, I made the comparison with the OECS, and I did it intentionally. Because OECS members are CARICOM member states. So mm-hmm. is it really an issue of CARICOM members having a different approach, or is something else happening at the regional level? Because within the OECS, my understanding is that they can even move with an ID card. And I actually remember a friend some years ago who was coming to Barbados from St. Lucia, and she had to delay her flight because she didn't have a passport, and she did not realize that she could not come to Barbados with her ID card in the same way that she could go to other countries that were OECS members. So is this, and I don't think it's a difference between the Caribbean and let's say Europe. I think there is what Mr. Hamilton pointed out, a concern among some CARICOM states in particular that other members are going to flood into their borders. And that raises a question again about the true commitment to regionalism. Your thoughts?
Well, no, I mean, and that's the point where I am very sympathetic to the CARICOM team that is on the panel today, because I do appreciate that they have a job to do, which is essentially to reflect the policy that has been articulated by the heads of government. But the reality is that that issue is in the lap of the heads of government, because the heads have created an environment in which there is this mortal fear. The fears that were created that were massaged in the 2009 Green Paper on Immigration Reform. All of those fears were entirely in the mind of the leaders of Barbados at that time. And they felt that there was political capital to be gained from flogging that kind of argument, you know, in terms of the concerns that were being raised about the abuse of the national insurance system or whatnot. We just saw it in the EU, the same thing, where Boris Johnson essentially won a discussion by flogging fears and suspicions about it. So the responsible leadership is an important part of it. And I do feel that what we have seen in terms of the position that Barbados has taken by implementing the reciprocal agreements and so on is the kind of responsible leadership that you need to see. And I think that in a sense, if you have more of that, then there will be a quid pro quo where other leaders do feel the responsible. I am not convinced that in a situation that Barbados was in 2007, 2008, where you said there were all of these thousands of illegal Guyanese in Barbados, that it was anything to fear, because in the final analysis, those people were living and working. But the irrationality of it came where leaders saw it as an opportunity to gain political points by saying things which were not really reflective of the truth. The fact is that people have moved across the region for years, you know, and they move and we see them and we know them. You know, what I do was done for a long time, and it was done even before in colonial days with greater ease. It's nothing unusual. And I think that what we have to do is we need to get back to a situation where we appreciate that there is nothing to fear. And I think that, yes, we need to put pressure on leaders to not take those kinds of irresponsible positions where they are massaging these irrational fears on the part of people.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Skeet.
For a lot of the concerns as it relates to flooding countries, I think stems from the point that we do not know our capacity. If you can tell me what is our capacity in terms of Barbados, our capacity as it relates to housing stock, social services, or institutional capacity, our absorption capacity, that would put countries in a better place. But I'm firmly of the belief that the market regulates itself, so you come where you know that there is a job. And I want to piggyback on this point to go to the question that was asked by the caller as it relates to the fishermen. Now, fishing in this Caribbean is a business. As a business, there is a provision within the revised Treaty of Chagaramas that allows you to set up a business in another member state on the right of establishment. There is nothing stopping a Barbadian, a Grenadian, a Tobagonian fisherman from setting up a business in another member state. Fish are migratory. They move to clean, calm, clear waters. So if you have to migrate behind the fish, set up a business to allow that migration.
So what you're saying is that fisher folk need to set up businesses in other parts of the region in order to fish?
And
shouldn't there be something easier? And this is the question that I keep asking. And I think this is part of the problem with CARICOM. You have to go through this procedure, just as Mr. Wickham argued. He had to go through a whole set of procedure to get some certification to say he's a consultant. So fisher folk now have to go through some kind of procedure just to go behind the fish? Is that what we are saying? Is that how we're saying that regionalism should work?
Until the exclusive economic zone of our individual countries in CARICOM completely erased, and I can't see it being erased unless we are some form of supranational entity, because Barbados has 220 nautical miles that is afforded to it in international law. So unless that is completely erased and Barbados waters merge with Trinidad and Tobago waters, merge with Grenada waters, we will have to find a workaround. And as much as I am an ardent regionalist, I am taking Mr. Wickham said at this point in time, because I refuse flat out to go and get the CARICOM's the national certificate, because it hinders my movement as a service provider in this region as a consultant. It is too bureaucratic, and frankly, it's a waste of time and a waste of my money. But it's I can still get my work done because there are opportunities that allow me as a Barbadian to be a consultant in Grenada, in Jamaica, in Trinidad and Tobago, strictly because I'm a CARICOM national.